You're listening to Amud B'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Seches Brachos, Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. The Rav got to the top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph last time?
At the bottom, very, very last two lines.
Okay. So we are analyzing a large Mishnah with a bunch of different machlokas in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So we say over here, so we paskin in accordance with Beis Hillel regarding what do we do first, Hagafen or the Bracha of Kiddush first, and we say that we paskin like Beis Hillel. So that's a very obvious point. Why? Pshita. It's obvious. Daho nafka baskol. Right? Famously, there's a baskol that came out that said that that halacha is in accordance with Beis Hillel for basically everything. There are some exceptions, but in general, we pass on like Beis Hillel because of this baskel that came out. So why does this brisa, right? We're quoting a brisa over here. The brisa includes a psak, the halacha could be Beis Hillel. So why would the brisa say that? So Iba Yisema, if you want to say Kodem Baskol. This Brisa was recorded before that Baskol came out, right? This was an earlier Brisa, and the Halacha was recorded, even though the Baskol hadn't come out yet. The Baskol didn't come out until like 3 years into the Machlokasin of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So this Brisa is an early Brisa before that. Iba Yisema, and if you want to suggest La'achar Baskol, no. This actually took place after the Baskol. Okay, so why do you need to say that the halach is like Beis Hillel? Everyone knows that. And the Rebbe Yoshua he, top of the next Amud, Nun Beis Amud Aleph, Rebbe Yoshua he. And this is the Brisa of Rebbe Yoshua. Rebbe Yoshua is the author of this Brisa. De Amar, he says, Ein Mashkichin Baskol. We don't listen to a Baskol, right? There's Rashi over here quotes, Bava Metzia, but Tanura Shalach Noi. Perakazov, right? The famous Tanura Shalach Noi, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, where right, he said, if the halach is like me, all these things should happen, and the trees, and the river upstream, and the walls of the base medrash. You're familiar with the story? Have you heard it? Right. So basically, at the end, a baskel comes out and paskins halach is like Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, as opposed to against the chachamim, and. Rabbi Yeshua gets up and he says, "Well, with all due respect, Baskol, we don't paskin like Baskols. We paskin like we have a halachic system." So that famous story is being referenced here. So Rabbi Yeshua says, "We don't paskin like Baskols. So therefore, if I'm writing a Mishnah about Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, I'm going to write in the psak there because I'm not going to listen to a Baskol that tells me to paskin like Beis Hillel." Okay. So that's how we deal with that line in the Brisa. So now we're going to take a look at Beis Shammai's opinion and ask if that could really be. V'savri Beis Shammai de Birchas Hayom Adifa? Is it true that Beis Shammai says that Birchas Hayom is better or at least precedes the bracha of Hagafen and Kiddush? Is that possible? Well, Tanya, but we have a brisa that seems to imply otherwise. Hanichnas the base of a Motzai Shabbos, one who enters his house on Motzai Shabbos, mevarich al hayayin v'al hamaor v'al basam v'achachach omer havdalah. He makes a bracha on wine, and then on eish, and then basamim, and then havdalah. Ah, we see wine before havdalah. Ooh, wine before havdalah. How? And we're assuming right now, by the way, that this is Beis Shammai. So how could he say wine before Havdalah if in Kiddush, meaning like, so over here, presumably, so there are a couple of assumptions here. First of all, we assume that this is Beis Shammai. Secondly, we're assuming that if Beis Shammai says you make a bracha of yayin before Havdalah, so you would also make the same, you would do the same thing. You would do yayin before Kiddush. Right? So we're making both of those assumptions. Why should there be difference, right? According to the Rambam, Kiddush and Havdalah are sourced in the same mitzvah, Zochar Yom HaShabbos LeKodesho. It's the same idea. It's separating Shabbos from the days of the week, once at the beginning and once at the end, right? Beknisaso, Beitziaso. So it should be the same. So if so over here we have a case which seems to be Beis Shammai, and there's the Brisa says that you make yayin before Havdalah. So presumably Beis Shammai would say the same thing by Kiddush, Yain before Kiddush. However, it seems from our Mishnah that's not the case. So that's those two assumptions, we have a contradiction. Now let's just continue the Braisa. There's another line in the Braisa, which is going to be relevant for later. Vim ein lo eli kos echad, and if he only has one kos, what should he do? Should he say for Berchus Amazon or for Havdalah? Manichol achar Amazon, he should place it after Berchus Amazon. Mashalshon kulan lacharav, and then he should, like Rashi says, shalshon is like a shalshelis, like attach all the rest afterward. Meaning, bench on the kos, and then don't drink the kos yet. Can rather place it and wait and do a Havdalah with it. So you're doing all the brachos on this one kos. That's what he says you should do. So again, seems like Beis Shammai over here says that you would do Kiddush, you would do the Hagafen before Kiddush or Havdalah. So we're going to challenge the first assumption. I think that was the first one, yeah. V'ha b'mai de Beis Shammai hi. How do you know this is Beis Shammai? Did you read the prices? I didn't see anyone say Beis Shammai. Tilma Beis Hillel hi. Maybe it's Beis Hillel. Lo, so that I have. No, don't let that enter your mind to say such a thing. Why? Tani, because we learn in this Braisa that teaches over here, Ma'or v'acharkach b'samim. Right? Take a look at this Braisa we just said. The order is that we say Eish before b'samim. Uman shamat le de isle haisvara. And about whom do we hear that there's this svara that holds that Eish precedes b'samim? Beis Shammai. That's Beis Shammai. That's the sheet of Beis Shammai that Eish precedes B'samim. D'tanya, since we learned in the Braisa, Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo nechlehu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al Mazon shebatchila v'al Havdalah shehi basof. So Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai do not disagree, meaning they about the following two things. They agree that first of all, that Berachas Mazon goes first, if you're doing one of these conjoined Havdalah, Berachas HaMazon things. So the Bracha, Berachas HaMazon comes first. The Havdalah, Shehi Basof. And Havdalah is at the end. Then Rabbi Yehuda continues. Al Ma Nechleku. What do they disagree about? Al HaMa'or V'al Basamim. On Eish and Basamim. Beis Shammai Omrim Ma'or V'achakach Basamim. Beis Hillel Omrim Basamim V'achakach Ma'or. So we see from this Braisa that the Shita of Eish coming before Besamim is a Beis Shammai Shita. So let me just give you the context for this Braisa. This Braisa is a second presentation of the Machlokes in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah mentioned a Machlokes about the order of different pieces of Havdalah. And that is the... That's the anonymous opinion in our Mishnah. The Gemara later on is going to say that this is Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is the Mishnah. And this Braisa that we just quoted of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is giving an alternate representation of their Machlokas, meaning Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are arguing on what the Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is. So what we saw in our Mishnah, that's one version of the Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. What this Braisa is representing of Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda arguing, and he's saying no, they don't argue. They don't argue about Birchas Moshon being at the beginning and Havdalah at the end. They both agree Birchas Moshon is at the beginning and Havdalah is at the end, which is not what Rameir says. If we take a look at the Mishnah again, should we do that for a second? Maybe we'll do that just to have it more clear. I know it's confusing the way the Gemara presents it, but so we can take a look at the Mishnah. It's right. The first written line is Notlin. It's like 5, 6, 7 lines down, something like that. So the end of the line, Beis Shammai Omrim Ner Umazon Besamim VaHavdalah. Beis Shammai says Ner and Mazon Besamim and Havdalah. And Beis Hillel Omrim Ner Ubesamim Mazon VaHavdalah. So you see, Mazon according to both of them is this in the middle over here. So then, and then the question is, does Mazon come before Besamim? Does Mazon come after Besamim? So this is Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah. And now what the Braisa we just saw, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing. He says, no, right? No, that's not what they argue about. He says, D'tanya Amar Rabbi Yehuda lo nechleku beishamay beisel al mazon shebetchil aval avdal shebi besof. They don't argue about that. Alma nechleku al ha-ma'or v'yala besamim. Beishamay omrim ma'or v'achakach besamim. Beisel omrim besamim v'achakach ma'or. So what we just established is that that Hillel, Beis Hillel say, so that the shita of besamim, of ma'or coming before besamim, ish coming before besamim, is a Beis Shammai shita. Meaning that our brisa earlier, which is our assumption is Beis Shammai, it must really be Beis Shammai, because it says ma'or before havdalah. So ma'or before besamim. Gemara challenges that assumption again. How do you know that it's Beis Shammai according to Rabbi Yehuda? Dilma Beis Hillel hi v'alibad Rabbi Meir. Maybe it's Beis Hillel according to Rabbi Meir. Because back in that Mishnah again, you take a look at that Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that Beis Shammai omrim ner umazun. Ner umazun besamim v'avdala. Ner goes before besamim, and Beis Hillel omrim also ner ubesamim. So we see that yes, it's true. Beis Hillel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't say eish before besamim, but according to Rabbi Meir, Beis Hillel does. So you wanted to establish this brisa. Right, back to Nun Beis Amud Aleph. This first brisa that we quoted, three lines down, you wanted to tell me it. Well, listen, it says Eish before Besamim. It must be Beis Shammai. It can't be Beis Hillel. No, maybe it can be Beis Hillel. It's Rabbi Meir's version of Beis Hillel, where Beis Hillel does subscribe to a Shita where Eish precedes Besamim. So that's the suggestion. And the Gemara responds, that also cannot be. So we said, Dilma Beis Hillel, Hiva Libet Remeir, Lo Soka Daitach, no, don't let that into your mind, Diktani, Hacha B'mas Nisan, Beis Shammai Omrim Ner Umazon Besamim. Because we learn in the Mishnah over here, Beis Shammai says, Ner Umazon Besamim V'Avdala, and Beis Hillel Omrim Ner Umazon Besamim V'Avdala, but both of those, Mazon is in the middle, right? Don't get caught up in all the details. But mazon is like thrown right in the middle, according to both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. The hasam b'braisa katani im ein lo elikos echad manich la'achar mazon mashal shalom kun la'acharav. But our braisa up here at the top of the amud, v'hatanya, that braisa, three lines down. So remember, the seifa of the braisa says that if you only have one kos, so you're gonna make it on mazon first, and then you're gonna do the rest of the brachos after, right? So our brisa at the top of the amud is clearly not in agreement with our mishnah. Meaning it's not in accordance with Rabbi Meir. Again, this brisa up here says that mazon is placed at the beginning. You do mazon and then all the havdalah brachos. That's what this brisa says. Now, the brisa doesn't specify to Remeir or Beis Shammai. It doesn't say. It tells us that mazon is first. However, our Mishnah says that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that mazon is not at the beginning. It's somewhere in the middle. Therefore, this brisa up here cannot be Remeir. Because it was Remeir, meaning the author of our Mishnah on the previous Amud, then mazon would not be at the beginning. Both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, according to Remeir, say mazon is in the middle. Therefore, we cannot establish this brisa in accordance with Remeir. It must be Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, good. So now we eliminated two possibilities, right? Meaning the brisa could have been four possibilities. It could be Beis Hillel according to Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Shammai according to Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Hillel according to Remeir, Beis Shammai according to Remeir. We have four possibilities, so we just eliminated two. It cannot be this in accordance with Remeir. So it must be Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, good. So it's Rabbi Yehuda. And then what do we say? We say that in this over here, Eish precedes Besamim. That can only be Beis Shammai. Okay, so now So when you do the chazar, everything like you know falls nicely into place. So umay de beis shammai hi valibad Rabbi Yehuda. How do you know it's beis shammai and according to Rabbi Yehuda? Dilma beis hil hi valibad Rabbi Meir. Lo sogadayach diktani because it says hacha b'masnisim here in the Mishnah beis shammai omrim ner umazon right in the middle b'samim v'havdala ubeis hil omrim ner ubesamim mazon again in the middle v'havdala. The Hasam the Brisa, and there, meaning at the top of our Amud, in the Brisa, Ketani it teaches, im ein lo elikos echad manicho la achar hamazon, you say, do save the havdalah for after hamazon, mashal shen kulin la acharav. So shma mina de beis shamayi velibid Rabbi Yehuda. We see from here that this is beis shamayi and it's in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Mikol makom kasha. So now we're left with the question. So good. So now that one of our assumptions is confirmed, that this is this brice up here at the top is the shita of Beis Shammai, right? Beis Shammai couldn't do Yehuda. Beis Shammai nevertheless. And what do we say over here? That Yayin precedes Havdalah. That seems to be in conflict with what we know about Beis Shammai, that where he said, by Kiddush, that he says Kiddush precedes Yayin. So why would it be that Kiddush precedes Yayin, but Yayin precedes Havdalah? It seems to be incongruous Shita. So, Kosavri Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai holds, says the Gemara, Shani Iyule Yoma Me'afuke Yoma. There's a difference between the Iyule Yoma, the entrance of the day, Me'afuke Yoma, from the departure of the day. Right, Rashi just explains. It means we're talking about Kiddush and Havdalah. Why? Iyule Yoma, because when Shabbos comes in, Kama demak diminan le odif. The more that we could make it earlier, the better. Afuka Yoma, but when the day is leaving, Motzai Shabbos is going away, Kama demacharinan le odif. The more we delay it, the better. Meaning that we would like to sandwich the brachos of Hagofen, so that the Kiddush and the Havdalah can be on the outside. Because if they're on the outside, then it's a few more seconds of Shabbos, a few more seconds. I mean, it could be even with Havdalah, with benching, it would be even more. But to extend Shabbos even for a few seconds, it's important. And especially for this next point, as Beis Shammai concludes. Right? So he says that the more we can do that, the better. Dilo lahave alon kimasoi. So it shouldn't look like it's a burden. Right? We don't want it to look like Shabbos is a burden to us. So Nachum Rameseisim in Shabbos, right? Maharin Lavo, right? This is what we say in Komakare Shavi, that, you know, it praises those who bring in Shabbos early and take out Shabbos late. So even in the order of the brachos, we do it in the way to maximize Shabbos time, and that is the shita of Beis Shammai. So it's not a contradiction to have Hagafen before Havdalah, even though it's after Kiddush. Okay. Now we're going to challenge another point. V'savri Beis Shammai birchas mazon tun a kos. Is it true that Beis Shammai hold that birchas mazon requires a kos? V'hatanan, but we learned in the Mishnah. Bolahem yain la'achar mazon. If you bring, so if wine came out to them after they had the meal, right? Rashi says this is like any day of the week, right? Kol yemos hashana kamar. It's on any day of the week, and he says achar mazon, besoch mazon lo ba elahem uchishagun rusudasam bolahem lifnei birchas mazon. That so we're talking about a case where they ate the meal. The meal is basically done. They're ready to bench, and someone brings out a cup of wine to them. And you only have this one cup of wine. So the Mishnah continues. Im ein shan el oso kos, if you only have this cup of wine, meaning that if you drink it right now, you're not going to have it for benching. Beis Shammai omrim mevarech al hayayin, v'achar kach mevarech al hamazon. Beis Shammai says, drink the wine, make a bracha on the wine. Drink it, enjoy the rest of your suda, meaning this is the only part of your suda left, but enjoy your cup of wine, and then you can be mavarich al and then do birchas hamazon, which seems to indicate, right? Rashi says, Okay, so the Gemara is assuming at this point that that you don't need that you only have one kos. We let the guy just drink it. He doesn't. We're not even saying you. You know, it'd be nice if he would save that for benching. We don't even tell him that. We say, drink it. Go ahead. Enjoy your cup of wine. You don't need to do it. So that's what seems to be the halacha. Isn't it the following? Isn't that we're telling him that he makes a bracha on it and then he drinks it right away? Meaning that's what it seems to be, which would imply that he doesn't need to do benching on a ghost. That's the implication here. And Rashi says, "V'hochi kamar, right? My lav deshosi like v'hochi kamar beishamai imrotza mevarich al yain v'shoseyu." If beishamai says that if he wants to, he can make a bracha on the wine and drink it. Ve'in sarach lanichol ibrachas mazon. That's what the shita seems to be. Gemara responds, "Lo dinevarich ilave umanachlay." No. It's where he makes a bracha on the kos, and then he leaves it, and then he benches. So he said a gafen. And then he leaves it for benching. V'ha'amar mar, but the master said, "Hamavarech sarich shayitom." Someone makes a hagafen, and he has to taste it, right? You're making this hagafen, and how can you not drink a little bit from it? So the Gemara responds, "Did tell him lay? No, it's where he did taste it." V'ha'amar mar, but the master said, "Tamo pagmo." Should I go back a step?
No, I agree with what the Gemara said.
Yeah, it's puzzling. So Hamar Mar, whenever the Gemara has these like lightning fast rounds, like, but Master's this, or it's this, but Master's this, so you know, like each step is like, come on, right? So actually, you tell him Tom to Tamo, you know, where he had some Hamar Mar, but the Master said Tamo Pugmo, that somebody who drinks, someone who tastes from a cup. Makes it pagum. Pagum is discussed in Maseches Pesachim. I don't know if Rashi speaks about it here. Doesn't look like he speaks about it here. Oh yeah, he does. Right. So pagum means that it's a pagam. Right. There's something like deficient in it. And Rashi says tavum pagum the birchas lemosin the kiddush lavdala the perak arvei Pesachim. In Pesachim we deal with this, where basically, if someone drinks from a kos, that can't be used for kos shel bracha. You can't use that from Havdalah, you can't use it for Kiddush, you can't use it for Birchas Hamazon, for a kos shel bracha, it can't be something that someone drank from. If someone drank from it, you drank a little bit from it, so the way to fill it and de-pugum it, to bring it back to its original status, is you just pour some more wine in, and then that fixes up the pugum. But there's something that's deficient if someone drinks from it. So here's the problem, right? So we said over here, it's a Mishnah where Beis Shammai say that you only have one cup of wine. It's brought at the end of the meal. They say you can make a bracha on it and then like leave benching for later. So we said make a bracha on it. Sounds like Beis Shammai saying you could just like drink the whole thing right there and you don't need for benching. No, we're saying no, you just make a bracha on it, but then you really save the cup for benching. Okay, then we say, hold on. You make a bracha on it, you need to drink something to make a bracha on it. So yeah, no, he drank a little bit. Well, if you drink a little bit, even if you just drink a little bit, then it's pugum and you can't use that kos anymore for benching. You ruin the kos for benching. So it seems that they say you can't use it for benching. So the Gemara responds, pugmo. So did time lay be a day? He tasted it with his hands. Meaning that he poured it like onto his hands a little bit. He didn't probably not stuck his hand in, because that would probably make it pugum also. But he poured a drop onto his hands and drank it like that. So he said, right, a little bit of a taste. Okay, so I was yotzei tasting it, but I didn't ruin the pugum. But I didn't make it pugum. At least according to Beis Shammai, it doesn't become pugum if you pour it a little bit. Only drinking would be the problem. So the Gemara says, wait, that's still a problem. You still ruin things. Why? V'aramar, kosha bracha tzarech shiur. The kosha bracha needs a full shiur. You need a full revius of a lug, right? You need a revius for, for, uh, for a kosher bracha, and now that you spilled a little bit, you detracted from that. V'ha'kapachislei, and you made mishiure, and you made it less than a shiur. So the Gemara responds, no, didn't afishlei tvei mishiure. No, it's where he had more than a shiur. It wasn't a revius exactly, right? It was a little bit of a larger cup. It was a 5-ounce cup, something like that. There was more than a revius there, so you spilled a little bit of a drop. Don't worry, you didn't drink it. You spilled it on your hands, so you tasted it. So you didn't drink the whole thing. You just tasted it by pouring a little bit onto your hands, and you left the full shiur in there. The Gemara says that cannot be. It cannot be that type of cup, right? Vaha im ein sham ella oso kos katani. But the Braisa taught, or the Mishnah taught, that it was in a case of im ein sham ella oso kos, meaning it looks like there is a shortage of grape juice. There's a shortage of wine. So so presumably, the Gemara is assuming in this question, there was only an exact revius in there, because it's talking clearly, the Mishnah is talking about a minimal case. So the Gemara responds, no. Trey lohavi. There wasn't enough for two full kosos. Umechad nofish, but it was more than one. Right, meaning that it was about 5 ounces. Okay, yes, granted, you don't have like 7 ounces that you have enough for two kosos. But it's where you had a little bit left over, a little bit extra, so that you could spare a drop on your hand to drink and still have the shear left over. So now we explained that this Mishnah where Beis Shammai say that you have this one kos that you got at the end of the meal, you make a brach on it, and then you bench. So really, we're saying no. You make a bracha on it, and you save the rest for benching. But when you make a bracha, you have a little bit of a drop poured onto your hand, so it doesn't become pogum, and presumably you had at least a revius left in for the koshel bracha. Okay, we're about to get backed into a corner here. V'hotani Rabbi Chiya, but Rabbi Chiya taught in the Braisa, Beishame mevarich al hayayin v'shosehu v'achar kach mevarich birchas amazon. A Braisa says that he made the bracha on wine, and he drank it. And then he says, Berachas HaMazon. You can't get out of this. So my response, Ela Trey Tanoiva Libet Beis Shammai. Okay. Right? Okay, you got it out of me. You squeezed it out of me. It must be two shitas according to Beis Shammai. One where, because, again, it, just to clarify, our top brisa that we quoted up there talks about how we're making an effort to do a benching, Beis Shammai, again, making an effort to bench on a kos. But over here, according to, and our Mishnah also, by the way, our Mishnah also does that, where it includes mazon in this different order, so the Mishnah also does that. However, Rabbi Chiya, in teaching this Braisa, and perhaps this other Mishnah as well, that we kind of like, you know, like, fudged up the Mishnah in order to make it work. So it could be that Mishnah is actually also in accordance with, I'm not sure, but it could be that's also in accordance with the Rav Chiya's Braisa, but against the Braisa we quoted at the top of the Amud, and as against the one that we mentioned on the others, on Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Okay. Okay, so maybe I'll give a slight intro just for a minute to this next point, to this next discussion, and the Rev will take over. So it's we're gonna get into a little bit of a complicated. It's only complicated if you're not holding in Tumah and Tahara, and details like that, right? So a lot of these we're just like not knowing with today, so it gets a little bit challenging. But basically, we're going to take a look at the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel regarding washing before Kiddush, right? So Beis Shammai says that you're gonna wash your hands, make Kiddush, then do hamotzi without washing your hands again. And Beis Hillel say that you do what we do, that you're going to that you do Kiddush, wash your hands, and then have the bread. The reason for this, so we'll take a look at the Braisa and the reason for this. So Beis Shammai Omrim Chulei Sotan Rabbanan, Beis Shammai Omrim Notan Liyadayim, V'Achachach Mosgenes Akos. Beis Shammai say that you wash your hands, and afterwards, Mosgenes Akos, right? It means dilute the cup, but it means that this is the terminology used for pouring a cup. She'im ata omer mosgin es akos, because Beis Shammai say, if we would say, pour the kos tchila, do that first, gzeira shema yitmu mashkin shachore akos machmas yadav. So we're going to be concerned, maybe, okay, looks like everyone disappeared. a new meeting was started with that. Okay. So I'll finish the last point. So maybe Shema Yitmu Mashkin Shachoriakos Machmas Yadav, maybe he's gonna if there's gonna be mashkin, water, liquid on the other side of the coast, he's gonna make it tame because of his hands. His hands are tame, they have what's called a shani status of tuma. And his hands will make the liquid tame, and that's gonna viachzer v'yitmu es hakos, and that's gonna be matame the kos. So therefore, he washes before that.